God is doing amazing things around the world. God is doing incredible things in each and every one of you and us as missionaries, as part of the missionary church here in Canada. You are part of a global movement around the world and in Mexico as well. So we work primarily with the mission. It's called the Missionary Church of Mexico. So it is the sister denomination, sister churches in Mexico that we work with. We also work with other churches, and we're going to get into that, what all that means, and we want to share. I want to share from the Word of God, because I'm very I had a little chat with the pastor, Pastor Davis, this morning, and we're chatting, and folks, you got a good pastor. Support him. Pray for him and his family, because God has plans for this church. He has plans for this area of Didsbury and the surrounding area in Alberta. God has something incredible that you want to be part of. Believe me. And so this morning, we want to share with you what God is doing in Mexico, what God has been doing in our lives, and share from the Word of God, what does it mean to be a blessing? We have been blessed to be a blessing. And we Canadians, I'm going to put us all in this big bubble, big box, we have been so blessed that we have no clue how blessed we are. Whether you have $20 in the bank, or whether you have millions of dollars in the bank, or have a nice house or somewhat of a shack, and the shacks in Canada are very much mansions in other parts of the world. Okay, we have been blessed beyond imagine, even though we get caught up in our own stuff. Okay? We're going to share this morning. I want to invite Carolyn. Just a little bit of intro. She manages, that's, I guess, is the right word. We don't want to say mans anymore, right? She manages the table at the back, and there's some information, and she's going to just do a little promo for that information.
Good morning. There's lots of papers, different flyers, information on the back table, but sort of the highlights that we like to highlight the most. This is our what we call our prayer magnet. So if you have a fridge and there's food in there, the Bible says pray without ceasing, not eat without ceasing. So you put that on your fridge, and when you go to get another snack or something out of the fridge, you'll see that and you'll remember to pray for our ministry. So come pick one of those up. Our newsletter, I notice it's on the back bulletin board, so that's fine. This is actually April, May, because we're just barely into June here, so we haven't got that one out yet. But if you'd like a paper copy, there's some of those you can take home with you. You could also sign up if you are of the computer generation, you have one of those, or a tablet, or are connected. You can also sign up to get these sent to you in email. And Phil's going to get around to this, but we have a project fund that's been approved for materials, in particular for leadership development. So how do we get to this one? I don't know if anyone here is a farmer or knows a farmer, but in Mexico, pastors are generally volunteers. I'm assuming you pay your pastor, but maybe he's a farmer. I don't know.
He's a student.
Wow, okay. In Mexico, they tend to be volunteers. If they get anything from their church, it's very little. So pastors are in a volunteer position, but often they're farmers. They might have a coffee crop in season, and then maybe they also grow bananas. Well, what happens if the banana crop fails? It's not uncommon for part or one of their crops to fail. Then suddenly they're living on half an income. Well, this project fund helps to go, it's a partial payment. So they pay a bit, and we'll pay a bit towards the books, because you're thinking, oh, what kind of books? Well, Phil will get into the study material, the materials that they use to train pastors, because pastors generally are called by God, but they never went off somewhere to seminary. So they're just working on whatever they can figure out from the Bible that they have. So this helps pay for some of those materials. And you think, well, how much is a book? a book, so maybe only about $14 or $15. Doesn't sound like a lot. There's about maybe 20, 25 lessons, depending on the book. But that's in Canadian dollars, and Mexicans don't make that much. In fact, if they're a farmer and they're getting, you know, their money in pesos, and now they have to pay for a book or two or three, because maybe their son is studying and possibly their wife, and each person is supposed to have their own book, and now they're living on half their income. There's so many challenges that we, in this part of North America, it doesn't even cross our radar, because it's not as big of an issue how little people live on. When he's saying, well, you know, probably your back shed is better than most people's homes. I know I've been there and seen that. I'm like, this is a house. Shouldn't there be four enclosed walls here, not three and a third? Anyway, yeah, pretty incredible the situations that people live in that we can't quite grasp. And when we're talking about, I was just mentioning Bibles. So I'm not sure how many people here have a second language. For us, Spanish is a second language. But for most of the pastors as well, Spanish is their second language. They have indigenous languages. For instance, Nahuatl is a primary language, that group that he's working with. So if you could imagine, for instance, someone coming from Portugal comes to Canada, they're learning English, they're doing great, and they want to study the Bible. So you give them a King James. Nothing about King James. I was King Jamesy all my life till I kind of went off to university and found out, oh, there's other versions that are more readable in today's English. So they have a similar situation in Mexico. They have one called, and it's not King James, it's called Reina Valera, which means Queen Valerie, who I'm assuming was the monarch who put their gold stamp on that version of the Bible, just like King James put his stamp on that one. It's very old Spanish, and it's not their first language. So trying to, you know, someone, for instance, from Portugal, trying to interpret a King James Bible would be pretty difficult. So part of the project funds can also go to help them get a better Bible, a more readable Bible, like a new translation, like the New Living Translation, but Spanish, or the New King James Spanish, something more readable. Also might have, because they're students of the Bible, might have maps and concordances, things that they can cross-reference and, you know, really study in. The thing is, a lot of people want to just go with the Reina Valera. Why? Because it's public domain and it's way cheaper. It's something that they might actually be able to afford to pay for on their own. But if they can get a little bit of help through your project fund, they can get something that's more readable and much more applicable for them to do their ministry and their studies and, you know, make disciples and make disciples. Phil will get into all that. Anyway, so come see us at the back. If you have any questions, we got the map. We can show you sort of where we're situated and where Phil's doing ministry. We have some little takeaways if there's, you know, want a little souvenir of our day together. All right, thank you.
Make sure you get one of those prayer magnets, because it's a great reminder. We have people, when we first started giving them out years ago, people are like, I still got your old one. I'm like, well, here, have a new one, because our faces are a little bit different. But it's a great reminder, and people, we've heard stories of people like, well, I pray for you all the time. Every time I see that, I offer a prayer. And it's wonderful for us, that kind of support that we have through prayer. And prayer is essential. It is essential to see the work of God move ahead. And so that's what we're excited about. We're excited about what God is doing. And we can take for granted how much we have, not just in terms of, what we have in our house and this. We take for granted what is available to us if we just do a little bit of work. You've heard of this thing, the all-knowing Google. No, you just type in and there's the answer, or at least an answer that might be acceptable. It's often, you know, riffed with other things, but there's information. Well, one of the problems that we face with the indigenous people that we work with is that they don't have access to the internet or even cell phone signal. It's very spotty. It's very off. So it's often very difficult for us to connect with them just through text or through phone call. And so that's why it's very important for us to travel, to be where they are. And at the beginning of COVID, I thought, oh, Lord, have mercy, because I thought this is just going to fall apart. Like the whole ministry is just going to die, because it is so essential for us to be in contact with them. And when, you know, they're not meeting, they're not connecting with other people, it's just going to die. Well, God had a different plan. And so we want to get into that this morning. Hopefully we get, here we go. So this lady right there in the middle there, we went to her house, a few years ago, and this one, we're on our way out. We have to be at another place. And she said, no, you have to come to my house. You have to come to my house, which was like a block away from the church. And we walk in, and as Carolyn noted, you think this is a house, you know, a very makeshift tin roof and some part walls and, you know, a very ratty sheet on as a door to the bathroom and this kind of thing. And it was a bit of a culture shock for me. But she would not let us leave until she blessed us with some of the things that she made or had harvested. She made a living on selling tangerines from the trees that were in her backyard. You don't make a lot from selling tangerines in your backyard. But it was a faithful woman in the church, and she wanted to bless us. And the point I want to get to this morning is that how much do we want as Christians to bless people, to bless people with not just our presence, which is often our mentality. You know, oh, well, I was there, and you know, you're just blessed with my presence. Now, we don't tend to say that out loud, right? But we can kind of feel that way, or we can think that way. Well, she wanted to bless us with something, and she gave us all these tangerines and onions, and I'm like, oh, this is a real blessing. And I'm sort of thinking, and then God convicted me later. You know, she gave more than, sort of like the woman's mite. You know, she put the penny in the offering box, and she says, she gave more than you ever did. And God convicted me. The question this morning is, how much do we want to bless people? Because through our blessing people, our lives are transformed. Mexico is a nation of some 64 indigenous language groups. And as Carolyn pointed out to me this morning, she said, I just found this information. There's an indigenous language. There was only two people left in Mexico who spoke it. I can't remember what it was called. Do you remember? Zaku or something. There's only two people left in Mexico that they knew about that spoke this language, because all of these 64 language groups are on the edge, the verge of extinction. Because when the Spaniards came and took over Mexico, they made Spanish the official language. And then these Mexicans learned what they learned. They learned to read, because their languages were all oral. They taught them in the schools. What did they teach them? Spanish. They taught them how to read and how to write Spanish. And so that they, what do? They read and write Spanish, and they do all their commercial stuff in Spanish. So they understand Spanish at a very basic level. Now, when they're at home, they don't speak Spanish. What do they speak? Their indigenous language. So what do you do as a missionary? You go into a culture. So we thought, oh, we're missionaries to Mexico. Okay, we'll learn the language, learn the culture. Bada bing, bada boom, preach the gospel. And people come to Christ. Well, it's not quite that simple. Why? Because they're working in Spanish as a second language. I'm working in Spanish as a second language. I read and write Spanish. They read and write Spanish. But we're not talking heart to heart. Because my heart language is English, and it's becoming more and more Spanish as I become fluent. But they are talking their indigenous language, That's their heart language. Oh, you might say, oh, well, why don't you just bring Wycliffe in and you know, translate the scriptures into their own language, and then they can read and understand for themselves. Nice idea. It's very, you know, a very Western idea. They don't read and write in their indigenous language. They read and write in Spanish. So it would take a lot of effort to teach and train these millions of Mexicans to read and write in their own language. So I'm going to get into this in just a moment. So what are we doing? We, as missionaries to Mexico, are your hands and feet on the ground. We are your missionaries to see the gospel, ultimately the gospel preached to all nations. And when we talk about the Great Commission, Jesus says, go into all the world and be nice to people. And these days, that's kind of the gospel in many places that they're preaching. What did Jesus say? Go into all nations and preach the gospel. Keep going. What does it say? Teaching them, what? To obey. And the idea is, as you go along, okay, the pastor prayed about being disciples who make disciples, and that's what the Great Commission is all about. I'm a disciple, now I need to be making a disciple, and it's not just making a disciple, but it's making a disciple who has a passion for making other disciples. Okay? And so when we talk about discipleship, we are involved in discipleship at the very basic level from, well, my wife has this baking ministry, and if you haven't eaten any of her baking, and we do apologize, she didn't make any baking stuff because we're on the road and it's a little bit hard. But she is a phenomenal baker and cook, and we are blessing people with all that stuff because obviously from my svelte figure, I don't need it. Okay, so we bless people as much as possible. And if you want to get to know somebody, you just take them some food. You take them a bag of cookies. And it doesn't have to be all that good. Take them out for coffee. Right? We are committed to discipleship right from the very basics of people who have no idea who Christ is or what the gospel is, getting to know them, creating a relationship with them, all the way through leadership development, people who want to know more about God's word in the church and people who aren't in the church, all the way up to pastoral training. And you think, wow, that's a lot of work. It is. But we got to start somewhere. And that's sort of the overall encompassing, what do you call that, vision of what we're all about. But we have other people who help us in this. So discipleship and leadership development, those are the two sort of, you know, key words. I want to talk to you this morning from Numbers chapter 6. If you have your Bible or an application on your phone of some sort that would take you there, open it up because you got to get into the Word of God, people, right? Amen? Amen. Let's try that again. You got to get into the Word of God. Amen. And not just in moments here, there, and whenever you feel like it. Make it a discipline so that you can hear what God is saying, all right? So Numbers chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 22 to 27, and it's up here on the screen. And I'll get you. We're going to read some of the verses together, and when we get to verse 24, I'll get you to read some verses to the end with that of that passage with me. Here it is. It says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus shall you bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them,'" and let's read it together. Next slide. Next slide. Oh, that's mine. Sorry. That was me. That was my fault. Forgive me. I'm not used to having this all the time, at least one that works. Anyway, so let's read together. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." This morning, I want us to focus, so we're going to talk about the fact that we are a people blessed by God, and we are a priesthood chosen by God. Well, we're going to fly through some stuff here, and I just want to make sure that you're all with me and that we're, you know, I'm not preaching some heresy or something that you're not agreeing with. And if you have any questions, just go like this, "Oh, Phil, I got a question," and we'll look at it, because we want people, what? as you go along, what does it say, Matthew chapter 28, as you go along, disciple and teach other people to understand and obey and practice the teachings of God, right? So don't be afraid, and I know this is sort of one of those environments, but don't be afraid to raise your hand if you have a question on anything, and I'll refer you to the pastor. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so we are blessed people by God, as it says in verse 27. What does it say? It says, this is how Aaron and his sons will designate the Israelites as my people. They will be designated through this blessing pronounced upon them. So Aaron is to do that blessing, pronounce that blessing upon the priests, and the priests are to do what? Pronounce that blessing upon the people of Israel so that they know they are people blessed by God. All right? Now, let's take a look at Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to flip around here a little bit. Genesis chapter 12 is sort of is a very key passage where Abram is called by God, and this is what God says. We're going to look at the first couple of verses here. Then the Lord told Abram, leave your country, your relatives, and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. Okay. That sounds challenging. I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and I will make you a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. We are a people blessed by God. Why? Because through Jesus Christ, we are spiritual descendants of Abraham, Moses, David, and all those that come after. Through Jesus, through faith in Jesus Christ, we are spiritual descendants, God's people. We're all good? All right. We are also a chosen priesthood by God. A priesthood chosen by God. Let's go to Revelation chapter. What do we got? Chapter 5. We'll look at chapter 5 first. Revelation 5, verse 10. And what do we have here? In Revelation 5, verse 10. And you have caused them, who? God, through Jesus Christ, caused whom? People, but God's people, us. I lost my place. Verse 10, to become God's kingdom and his priests, and they will reign on earth. To be become God's kingdom and his priests. We are a kingdom of priests. Over to chapter 1, verse 6. And what is this? I'll start just a little bit before verse 6. All praise to him who loves and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. That's Jesus Christ, the work on the cross. He has made us his kingdom and his priest to serve before God his Father, to give to him everlasting glory. He rules forever and ever. Amen. Ooh, wow. He has made us his kingdom and his priests. Okay. Question of the day. What is a priest? What does a priest do? A priest is an intermediary, according to the Bible, and we have lots of priests nowadays that have made it into much more than just that. The priest, according to the Bible, the idea is that a priest is an intermediary between God and the people of God. But a priest is also an intermediary between the people of God and God himself. So the priest, what does he do? He helps them in their worship. He helps them in the sacrificial system. He helps them make their sacrifices as a pleasing offering to God. And he tells the people He tells the people what God has to communicate to them. Are we all there? Are all here? We're all good? Nods, Gil, yeah, there we go. Yeah, okay. So, what does that mean for us as priests, not just me individually, but all of us together? We are a people. We are priests for God's kingdom. What does that mean for us. I mean, we're not, most of you aren't going to get up here and, you know, play the piano and help people praise God and then, you know, then preach and, you know, preach fire and brimstone. No. What are we going to do? We're going to get to know the Lord through reading the Word of God and understand what all, as much of the details of the gospel of peace, the gospel of Jesus Christ, as much as possible. Why? So that we can communicate it to people, right? And not just the people of God, but everyone. As in Matthew 28 says, to all nations, right? Okay, and then the other part of that is that we are to invite people into relationship with Jesus Christ so that they can know God. We're all here? Good. This morning I want to focus on three things. First of all, God's blessing and protection, which is noted in verse 24, God's blessing and grace, which is noted in verse 26, and God's blessing and peace, which is noted in verse 26. And ask two questions. How have we experienced it? How have you experienced? How have we experienced as missionaries in Mexico? And then what is our response? How do we respond? Like, what are we going to actually do? Are we not just going to assent to it mentally? Oh, yeah, okay, uh-huh. Which is what a lot of people do. Or are we going to actually move our feet and do something about it? God's blessing and protection. Numbers, which is verse 24, Lord bless you and keep you. God is our protection. So we're going to look at, let's look at Psalm, it's not up there, I don't think, no. Psalm 56. Psalm 56, verse 9. No, that's not it either. Yes, it is. There we go. Okay, so Psalm 56 is the Psalm of David regarding the time when the Philistines seized him in Gath. Okay, that's the context. He's under pressure from his enemies. And we get to verse 9. And he says, on that very day when he's in trouble, when he needs God the most, I call to you for help. My enemies will retreat. And then he says, this I know, God is on my side. Not on their side. He's on my side. God is for us. Flip over to Psalm 121. Psalm 121, this is a well-known psalm. Lots of people have memorized it. And this is, I have it in a different version here. But in verse 5, it says, the Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not hurt you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all evil and preserves your life. The Lord keeps watches over you as you come and go, both now and forevermore. God is on my side, protecting me. But we can also say, as Paul says in Philippians, for me to live is Christ. And it's this, in the Greek, it's like, live, Christ. And it's all about Christ. When I'm working, when I'm praying, when I'm doing the dishes, when I'm working in the field, when I'm whatever, when I'm in school, it's all about Christ. When I'm disciplining my kids, it's all about Christ. To live is Christ. To die is gain. And again, in the Greek, there's no other words in there. It's just die, gain. Ooh, how many are ready to go? Oh, not everybody. I says, how many more times? This is my, Carolyn says this all the time. So, how many more times I got to run around, spin around on this globe, around the sun? Man, this life is hard. And it's been really hard during COVID, huh? And I think we got it bad. Just add all kinds of problems of corruption and poverty and all that on top of that. And we'll see what other people are going through. Right? Lord is for us. Whether we live, it's all about Christ. And if we die, oh, hallelujah! We get to be home. And so it's like we keep saying to people, it's like, if I die, don't cry for me. It's celebrate because I'm home. And that's what I really want. That's the context that Paul is speaking out of in Philippians chapter 1. Anyway, so Let's move along because I'm getting a little bit sidetracked. So what is our response to God's protection? Well, our response is to give thanks and praise to God. And these two guys are young, okay? Freddie on the left is 26 years old, had a difficult marriage, broke up with his wife, actually left him for I don't want to get into that. But anyway, and his daughter was in a very bad situation, was malnourished, being somewhat abused, not severely. But anyway, just in the last, I guess we're in June, so in the last 8 months, he got full custody of his daughter. His daughter's doing well in school. She is, like, growing up really well, and she's learning. She's really sharp. Anyway, God, why? Because Freddie came back to the Lord. He had a whole period of there where he just kind of went off and did his own thing. But he came back to the Lord, and what? God is blessing him. God is protecting him and his family because of his desire to serve the Lord. Mario on the right, he's 18. Well, I think he just turned 19. His family is very poor, very, very poor. They grow coffee, and they grow some other things. But he is an intelligent young man. He's the top student in all the schools in the whole area, one area. He won a full, like we're talking full scholarship. When you talk full scholarship here, you think, okay, well, he's still got to pay for some things. Well, he won a full scholarship to a technical agricultural school in Mexico. God has blessed him because his parents are serving the Lord, and he is seeking the Lord with all his heart. And he gets up every morning, and I don't know, he must spend an hour in the Bible just reading and poring over the scriptures. He's one of the youth leaders in the church, and God is doing great things through him. Why? Because they are seeking the Lord. They are seeking what God wants to do in and through them. His little brother, Emmanuel, about a little over a year ago, they took him to the doctor, said some problems. Anyway, the doctor said, oh, I think he might need surgery. Send him to the specialist. Specialist sent him to another specialist. And then COVID hit, and the specialist didn't show up for work, and they canceled appointments. So they spent all their money going from appointment to appointment to appointment. And I'm just like, wow, this is getting serious, because the doctor said, you need to have it within the next few months or you're going to run into some serious problems. The Lord gave me this idea. This family is from one town, and I knew this guy. You know what a social worker does here in the hospitals and the medical system? What do? They connect people with resources. They connect people with people. And I'm like, I know this social worker in this other town. He works in the hospital system, the medical system, and he's actually really good. And I've been discipling his two teenagers with him there. This is kind of an interest. That's a whole other story. But with him there. And so I connected this social worker with this family, and within a week, within a few days, that kid had an appointment with a specialist, and they took all they redid all the tests and all that, and the specialist comes back and says, he doesn't need surgery. There's the problem's gone away. Yes, there was a problem there before. The problem's gone away. Miracle? Yeah. Did I have anything to do with it? Well, I listened to the Lord, and I put two people, I connected two people, two individuals, two family and this individual, and you know what? Their lives, not just the kids' lives have been transformed, but the whole family, and this other family that transformed. They are just elated about what God has done, because we were obedient to think outside the box. It's all about who you know. And we know the great I am. Amen? God's blessing and grace. Ephesians chapter 2, let's look at that, because this is a key passage. And if you don't know Ephesians chapter 2, go home and memorize it, because it is essential to our thinking in terms of God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2, it's after Corinthians, and then Galatians and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. And it says, God saved you by his special favor when you believed, and you can't take credit for it. That's a gift from God. Salvation is not reward for the good things we have done, so no one of us can boast. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things, do the good things he planned for us long ago. Okay, so quick theology lesson. Pay attention. What is grace? Grace is the gift of God, okay? The gospel. Jesus Christ came as a baby. He lived on earth. He identified with us. He went through all the same kinds of things so that we could be in the same page. Okay? He died. He was buried. He rose again. He now lives and sits at the Father's hand to intercede for us. That's the gospel. That, in a nutshell, is the grace of God. It's the gospel message, right? I mean, yeah, there's lots of things we could add to that. But in a nutshell, are we good, Pastor? Okay, we got permission. We can move on. So that's the grace of God. Now, what is faith? For by faith are you saved? Is that what it says? Have a look. What does it say? I can't hear you. I only heard Gil. Who else? It is by? A little louder, Pastor. It is by? Grace, we are saved. And then what does it say? Through faith. All right. So the grace of God, that's got all the power. That's got the salvation, right? Through Jesus Christ. And faith is our meager response. Now, it's important because we got a whole book of Romans talking about that we are justified by faith. Faith is critical, but it's not the most essential thing. The most essential thing is the grace of God through Jesus Christ. We respond to the grace of God through faith. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. We put our faith in the work of God for salvation. And not just for salvation. We put it in our faith for all kinds of stuff. For what's next. What's the next? Okay, Lord, what's the next step? How can I be a blessing to others? Moises, he's one of the guys on my team, and I think I'm going to go a little bit longer. Is that okay, Pastor? I said to the pastor, I said earlier, you know, in Mexico, if you don't preach at least an hour, someone will come up and carry on. All right, are you with me? No one's sleeping yet? Good. Moises is on my team. He's one of our national leaders, and he has a grade 3 education, okay? And I saw lots of potential in it. He wants to do what God wants him to do in his family, in his life, in the church. He is a leader in the church. He leads one of the cell groups or one of the zones, and they divide up the church in zones, and he leads one of those groups. And he is now a tutor for two of our groups. But what's interesting, his response to the grace of God in his life is, how can I serve? How can I grow and know the Lord more and serve him? Because he's like, ah. All this stuff in my head, I mean, yeah, the important thing is putting into practice, right? I got Penny saying, yep. Anybody else? Okay. Pastor? Amen. It's putting it into practice. He's like, I want to put it into practice. So I'm like, you know what? You may not have much of education, but you got desire and you want to please the Lord. You're on my team. He is now tutoring two groups. He preaches regularly. He plays in the worship team in the church, and he is often being invited to another mission satellite church to preach and do pastoral work. God is doing great things. But what happens? It's been very difficult for him because he has only a grade 3 education. He's in the last 2.5 years, he's been in our seminary program. Our seminary program goes right from the most basic of discipleship, from like, who is God, what is faith, what is the gospel, to what is the Bible, what are the books of the Bible, and why is it important to understand what the Bible has to say? Because it's the gospel, the whole story, of not just all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And we got to study it if we're going to be able to explain it to people, right? Right? We got to get into the Word. He's like, I want to get into the Word. So I'm like, okay. So I gotta tell this story because we had this training session with him and another guy, and I said, okay, you may not have a lot of education, but what you need to learn is to read a verse and then understand what it says, and then you need to be able to summarize it and tell somebody else what that just said in your own words. And they're like, oh, I can't do that. Oh yeah, you can. When we first started it, he read the thing and he can read really well. But he didn't quite understand it. And I'm like, no, what are the important words here? What is it, the actual critical part of this verse, of this passage? And he struggled and struggled. And finally, we get through a few months. And he's like, this is transformational. Why? Because I can now communicate it. I know where it says that. I can read it, but then I can explain it to somebody. Now, what's even more amazing, Moisés is one of the first people. This is the first group we've tried this. Okay, I'm going to back up a second. 64 language groups that what? Read and write in Spanish, and they do everything else in their indigenous language. We have a group. The materials that we provide are in Spanish because we don't have them in their language. They're in Spanish. They read and they write in Spanish. They read and they read the Bible. They read the materials. They write. They do their homework in Spanish. And then we expect them to do everything else in Spanish too. Oh, we got a problem. Because now we're expecting them to give us answers and talk in something that's not their heart language. Okay. So I think I'm pretty sure it was the Lord that gave me this idea. I mean, it just seemed like so off the wall and so basic. Okay, let's think outside the box here. Let's read and write in Spanish and do everything else in the indigenous language. I'm like, okay. That is not the way most missionaries work. It's not the way mission groups work. It's not the way the education system works. It's in Spanish, you got to do it in Spanish, right? So the Lord gave me this idea, and I presented it to him and the other guy, and I'm like, you know what? What if we read and write in Spanish and did everything else in the indigenous language? And they're like, I don't know, let's give it a try. We're sitting in the first class where we were like, okay, let's try this. And I'm sitting there, and they're like, oh, they're all nervous. And like, do you think we can do that? Let's give it a try. And they're like, but you're not going to understand it, Phil. I'm like, that's okay. I trust you enough to be able to do it in your own language. So we're sitting there. And we're doing all, and we get going and going. And normally, we have like, one or two people participating. And you know, in Spanish, right? We're doing all, everything's in Spanish, there's one or two people participating. And like, they're giving the textbook answers. Yeah, it says, oh yeah, that's the answer, right? Because I saw it right there. We start doing this in, you know, read and write in Spanish, everything else in their indigenous language. And in a group of 12 people, we went from one or possibly two people participating to 100%. And they're looking at me like, is this okay? I'm like, we're not going back, folks. This is unheard of in the best of education systems. And so then I asked Moisés, the leader, I said, so how was it you for leading the group? He said, well, that was a lot easier than doing everything in Spanish. Why? Because that's the way they do it. Now, the problem comes when me as a missionary, I have to depend on them, to trust them enough that they're going to say the right things, that they're going to teach the right things. So what do I have to do? I have to invest in my leaders. I have to get to know them as they get to know the Lord, walk alongside them, teaching them to obey the teachings of the Lord so that we can see people's lives transformed. Yeah? And then we have people like Lilia, who, wow, she's just starting the studies. She's in the very basic. She just finished the basic levels of the discipleship. She's starting into the more difficult, and she said, oh, this is so hard. I said, well, how's the first part been? She said, it's been amazing, but it's been the most difficult, one of the most difficult things I've done in my life. And we're talking pretty simple stuff. Like, we're talking high school level type of material. And she said, our ministry has grown about 50% in the last year, primarily due to her enthusiasm. And I said, well, what is it so much that you like about what we're doing? She said, you're coming in, she said, you're discipling people at the level that they can understand. So you're not talking over people, and people's lives, they can actually understand it and teach other people. What's the best litmus test, whatever that's called, really knowing that somebody's learned what they've been studying? Doug, tell me. What's the best test to see if somebody's actually learned what they're studying? No. Speak up. That's the test. Doug?
I failed.
You failed. No. No. But I mean, I put you on the spot. I apologize. Yeah, he wasn't listening. Anyway, pay attention, Doug. We about to wrap this up because people are fading. No, it's that somebody can teach someone else what they're learning in their own words, right? And if they can't do that, then they've kind of learned it, but they haven't really learned it. And so this is what we want to see happen. And this is what she says. She says, I can tell somebody else what I've learned. I can explain it really well. And she says, I am just so excited about this because this is unheard of in Mexico. And we've been talking about, okay, you know, why are the young people not able to cook and clean and do all these things? And it's coming through the generations. They're not able to do these things. And you think, oh, they're just lazy. Why can't you pick up after yourself? Why can't they do that? Why can't they cook and clean? You know why? Because they don't have the capacity. They've never learned the capacity to be able to teach. And so we have grandmothers and parents or grandparents and parents who do not have the ability, the actual ability to pass them. That's what abstract thinking is about, taking abstract thoughts and putting it into practice. If you don't have a higher level of education or have had that fostered in your life, it's not going to happen, and you're going to become dependent on others. Which we could say in a very summary statement is the history of Mexico. Okay? Wow. That's a lot of stuff, eh? She's very excited. Our ministry has grown so much, and she just texted me last night. She said, when are you coming back? Well, you got to come, and I'm going over here, and I'm talking to these people, and I've got another pastor that wants to talk to you about this studying. How else do we God's blessing and peace? I don't know if you've read the news. We try not to read the news so much anymore because it's a recipe for depression. People are dying to know God's peace. They may not know it, but we've got wars around the world, not just in Ukraine and in Russia. We've got wars happening in Mexico and Africa, all around the world, and not just like big wars. We're talking like little wars between families, between communities, and between all kinds of people, between the, you know, the anti-vaxxers and the government. And I don't know what your opinions are on that, but people are dying to know the peace of God. This is a family that lives across the street from us in our home, and we live in a fairly good area, mostly because it's recommended by our mission. You know, you need to live in a place that's secure and safe. And so these folks, he's actually working on his doctorate, and I can't remember what it is. But this couple, we had a celebration for Independence Day. September 16th is Mexican Independence Day. And we had this celebration. This is all during COVID. And so we had some decorations, and Carolyn made all kinds of cookies and stuff. And she said, come on, send out a text to the community. Come on over. Said, come and, you know, get some cookies and, you know, have a little chat. Add a distance, social distancing, masks and gel and all that. And we couldn't believe how many people came because people were dying to talk. They wanted some kind of social engagement. And we were just blown away by the level of engagement from our neighbors. Now, did we have any Jesus conversations? Well, very few, but we maintained the connection, and that is so important for us. And when COVID came, we're like, okay, now what? This family, we've been getting to know them. Do you know what Lucha Libre is? You know what WWF is? World Wrestling Federation. Well, Lucha Libre is sort of the equivalent, only Mexican, and it's lots more drama, lots more costumes, and it's wrestling. Okay? This is not our thing. This family, they think, and they look like really decent people, right? They think it's the coolest thing in the world. And so they're telling us all about the characters, this, that, and the other. And just, oh, you got to come with us to one of the games, to one of the things. And we're like, oh. And then COVID hit. And we're like, oh, thank you, Lord. So they're telling us all about it. And they're starting to take an interest in us as people. And because they're more educated, you know, some they speak a little bit of English, but they won't speak English to us because they're too embarrassed. And anyway, they are engaging us. Why? Because we took an interest in them. And during COVID and after COVID, that is critical, right? We're taking an interest in people, and we are be able to engage them. So why? So that they can know the peace of God. And it's been amazing. There we go. So I'm going to finish up with this. What are we committed to? We are committed to discipleship. We're committed to discipleship from the very beginning, right through true pastoral training and leadership development. How do we do that? Well, it's a lot of work. Our ministry has grown so much. That's why we have this project fund. Our own regular ministry funds are not sufficient to cover the demand for resources. And you think, oh, well, you just go online and get resources. And now, well, this is not available in Spanish. It's either not available in Spanish or it's not, they don't have access to it. So they need actual hands-on resources like a book. And we're thinking, oh, books, old school. Well, they don't even have books. So they're like double old school. All right? And so they need resources that they can depend on. And so this project fund is for that. It's to provide resources. And our mission agency has just approved almost a $60,000 project fund that to go ahead with. And this summer is the launch for that project fund. We're just waiting to see what God does through this. Like, this is, like, we're just on the edge. It's like, I'm on the edge of my seat. Can hardly wait to see what God does. So we are committed to discipleship. This group right here, this is that group I was talking about when they started talking and doing the indigenous language. This is the first group, the first class. And this guy on the end here, he's actually explaining the gospel in their indigenous language. That doesn't happen. These guys are not doing that in their communities because everything's been in Spanish, and that's how they've grown up. They've grown up to talk in Spanish and communicate in Spanish the gospel, because that's been the method. Now they have an opportunity to learn and in their heart language and express in their heart language what God is doing. So this is very exciting for us. It's exciting for them, and they're all just, like, it's just, I mean, if you could see. If you could be there, it's like being in heaven. You know, it talks about all the nations will be before God. Well, it was just, I got to say this. I was in this class, and the leaders and I'm seeing this engagement, this connection, and they're all like just and almost all at once, but they can make sense because that's how they talk. And I'm just like, this is amazing. And I just, everything I can do to keep from bawling, being so emotional, because this never happens. And so then the Moises, the leader, says to me, he says, wow, you got emotional, didn't you? And I said to him, do you get it? This is what it's all about. This is people understanding so that they can communicate the gospel in their own heart language to someone else. They're learning the Word of God so much because the Word of God it's so powerful, yet we set it aside. You know, it's on one of those, what do you call it, an app that, you know, it'll disappear if you don't use it. I don't know if you, anyway, if you're not technological anyway. They got those apps that, you know, if you don't use it, it'll just disappear and then you have to go and get it again. But that's what we do. We have so much resource, and they're just dying to understand. Anyway, I digress here. So we're committed to discipleship and leadership development. So you say, Phil, lots of work. How do you do it? Well, I have a team of three. Right now I have a team of three guys that are helping me, and they are doing what I started out doing, and I am now just overseeing what they're doing. And I have to put a lot of trust. I have to invest in them as leaders so that we stay the course, and so that eventually they will be able to do what I'm doing in overseeing and becoming promoters of the seminar, the discipleship, and the study materials. That's a lot of work. But God, it's not my work. It's God's work. I'm just here. Okay, God, what's next? So the question I have for us today is the question that this family asks us. So there's all this around us, you know, we got these opportunities, you know, we want to bless people. Well, how do we do that? And so this family, the church that they're part of, they lost their pastor in a tragic car accident 2 years ago. And they're devastated. We went to visit them about 6 months after that, and we took them resources, and we prayed with them and encouraged them. And I'm like, well, how's it going? And I say, it's so hard. It's like the most difficult thing we've ever done in our lives. And I said, but we need to study because we're it. No one else here has any desire or passion to reach the community, to teach and help the people in the church grow. We're it, but we don't know anything about it. We hardly know anything. We're just scratching the surface of the Bible. And he said, these materials, the way that we're learning is so valuable. We just need more of it. Help us. And so they, you can see the smiles on their faces. They are so excited about what God's going to do because they are willing, not because they have a lot of education, not because they're rich, but because God has touched their hearts and they can see what God wants to do in their community and around them. And so they've been one of the first that every time they say, be sure to thank the churches in Canada for allowing you to be part of what's happening here, for providing resources for us. And they're just so thankful. So I want to just finish with that and say, ask the question this morning. I guess we're now in the afternoon. And I apologize for going over, but God wants to do something great in this church. God wants to do something great in your family, with your, what are they called, neighbors. He wants to do something great in your work. He wants to do something great in your studies, whatever it is you're doing. We just need to be willing and open and obedient to what he's saying to us. So we can ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what's next? What's the next step? And it's not going. It's more than likely it's going to be something we have to think outside the box. Is it going to be work? Absolutely. Is it going to be easy? Probably not. Is it going to be worth it? Absolutely. So what do? We come to the Lord and say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me to whoever you want me to go to." And that could be next door, it could be to my family, it could be around the world, but here I am. I'm available. Help me to bless somebody. Why? Because back in the call of Abraham, what is it? Jesus or God wants to bless the nations through him. And then when we get to the passage the pastor read in Acts chapter 2, what does God want to do? He wants to bless the nations. And all that was happening after, you know, the rumble and all the speaking in tongues, what was the point of all that? So that people could hear the good news, the praises of God in their own language. Am I on track? Are you on track? Then let's ask, what's next? We just got to be willing and wait for the opportunity to pass us by. Seize the opportunity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to share. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be with these folks here in Mountain View. Thank you for Pastor Davis and his family and what the work that you want to do here through him, through the members, through the congregation in this part of the world, in this tiny little church, in this I don't know, community, in the surrounding communities. We ask your blessing. Because we know you are the one who protects through sickness, through trouble, through whatever it is. You protect for our good. All things work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. We know that. Help us to know it in our hearts, believe it, so that we live it out every day and every moment. Lord, I ask you to bless them and keep them. I ask you to make your face shine upon them and be gracious to them. We know that your grace is what it's all about. It's all about Jesus Christ and our response to Jesus Christ. We pray that this church, everyone here this morning, would just engage in faith so that they're asking every moment of every day, okay, Lord, what's next? Even as we're busy doing other things. So that we can disciple and teach and train others to come to you and be your priests. Father, I pray your protection. I pray your grace. And I pray your peace upon each one here. Oh, Lord, the world is dying to know the gospel of peace. Peace with you, first of all, and then peace with those around us. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help each one here, help this church, and help our denomination, help in the work in Mexico and around the world to know that it's about peace. It's about your love coming and working in us so that we experience that peace that passes all understanding. Father, we cry out to you, asking that you would do a work in us so great that we stand in utter awe of who you are. So I ask these things in the great name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.